Well, tonight we're going to look at the passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about prayer. We're also going to look at two questions and answers from our catechism, Lord's Day 45. And I have it wrong in the bulletin, but I have it right on the sermon outline. It's question and answer 116 and 117. And I have those also on the screen above me when we come to that portion. We are introducing the topic of prayer, and we're going to look first at and foremost at what Jesus says about this in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. That's page 1012 if you're using a Bible from the pew in front of you. If you'll turn there, we will read this tonight. Before I do read this, though, let's pause and ask the Lord to guide us through His Word this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of opening your word together, for exploring it, for mining its treasures, and being given life-guiding wisdom from it. We thank you that Christ is living and active and continues to meet us in the written word. And we pray that we would hear Jesus' voice tonight as we hear from your Bible. We pray that you would guide us. Take away the distractions that might prevent us from hearing what Christ would teach us tonight. And we ask that through this that we would be re-energized to be men and women of prayer. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It's Matthew 6, beginning of verse 5, reading through verse 15. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if we forgive men when they sin against you, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is God's word. Imagine with me a woman named Jill, who's a wife and a mother of four. And Jill is in the habit of praying constantly throughout the day. When she gets up and she starts making breakfast for her large family, she prays that the Lord would bless her children and their day. She pauses before they eat their toast and their cereal with her children, and they pray together. And as she drives them to school, she's praying in her car, "Lord, give these children a good day in school. May they represent you well. May their friends be respectful of them." And then as she carries on her day, she prays as she's buying groceries for her family that the Lord would help give her wisdom as she spends her money, that she would be able to make ends meet in their tight budget with their large family. And as she gets ready to go to her fitness class, she prays for her witness, as she has a few friends who they work out together who don't know Jesus Christ, and she's trying to be a positive influence in their life. She prays before meals and after meals, and she uses her driving time all often to talk to Jesus Christ about what's going on and reflect on what has just happened throughout her life. Jill is a woman in constant prayer. Beth is a woman in her mid-80s, retired and widowed. Every day she gets up in the morning and she checks news on the computer about what's going on in Africa. She looks up several different websites with news sites and reads about what's going on in the different nations, and she makes notes, notes that she continues to keep in her notebook, listing out all the various countries in the continent, what's happening, what the needs are, and she spends an hour at least in prayer, praying through every country in the continent of Africa. What you'll learn is that Beth has two grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, and several missionaries she supports all in the continent of Africa, trying to work for the sake of the gospel there. Our prayers define a bit of who we are. Our prayers reveal our attitudes and our values and what matters to us. Jill, being a busy wife, knows that she needs the presence of Christ in her daily life, and she models that in how she prays. Beth's heart is towards a place that is far from her, a place that so many of her loved ones, her family and her friends and people, she supports financially. Missionaries she's committed to pray for every day all live in this continent far away. See, prayers are often expressions of where our hearts are with the Lord. You'll see the values come through what we speak about and how often we pray. How dependent are we on God's gifts, and how much do we care about specific places and situations often are revealed in how we pray. Prayers are expressions of our faith, but prayers also are formative. What we choose to pray for has a way of shaping our hearts. When I substitute teach sometimes at Champlain Valley Christian School, especially the younger children, one thing we do after opening exercises, we get to our classrooms. Everyone kind of puts their backpacks away, takes their folders out, and we spend some time sharing prayer requests, and we pray. And you will get an insight into the world of a little child by hearing the things that they want prayer for. My kitty cat is sick. You know, my brother is mean. You know, things like that are what arrive, and their world is small, and they're praying about the things in their world. And as a teacher, I'll say, that's good. We'll pray for that. Does anybody know anybody in their church that needs prayer? And try to encourage them to think a little bit bigger. And, oh, yeah, I know a lady who is having surgery. Let's pray for her. This is her name. Then I try to get a little bit bigger. Anybody hear what's happening in our country that we need to pray about? And maybe one boy will say, well, let's pray for the president. I'm like, good idea. You know, you want to try to form and shape people's attitude and their purview by what they're focusing their prayer on. Sometimes people will come to God and they'll just have a laundry list of personal requests. Lord, help me with this. Change this. Do this for me. Do that for me. Do this for me. Do that for me. And part of when I'm doing pastoral counseling, sometimes I'll ask, put yourself in this person's shoes. How could we pray for that person? Imagine this situation that's going on that's kind of got you scared. How should we pray about that? Trying to form and shape our imaginations by what we choose to focus our prayers on. Our elders of this church, what I commend to them and they commend to me is that we take the household lists that we shepherd and make sure we pray for those people by name on a regular basis. The people that come to church but aren't members here are ones that I pray through that list. And by doing this, my heart goes out to them, and I become curious about their lives. I realize as I'm praying that I haven't talked to that person in a few weeks. I don't know exactly what to pray for that person. I better connect with that person so I know how I can be in prayer for that one. What we pray about is an expression of our faith, but it's also what we focus our prayer on forms our faith. It shapes the way we see the world. And this is really important as we think about praying, because both of these dimensions are always active. We want prayer to be the authentic expression of what matters to our heart and our soul, But we also want Jesus to kind of guide us, because we can be in prayer for a long time but still get a little bit lost, and we need Jesus to guide us in how we ought to pray. And Jesus, here in the Sermon on the Mount, addresses how religious behavior can serve wrong purposes. How can this religious behavior of prayer serve wrong purposes? Jesus says, don't pray like the hypocrites, which means you can be a hypocrite and you can pray, right? So what's the difference? What are hypocritical prayers? Well, Jesus here is making it fairly clear that what happens when you're a hypocrite is you're speaking to God, but you're not really praying to God. You're not really communicating to God. What you're doing is you're communicating to the people around you. We can pray publicly by trying to sound really elegant to the people listening. And so our words are addressed to God, but they're really for those that are listening in. And that's what Jesus labels as hypocritical prayer. Don't pray like the people that stand in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. Look at my prayer life. Look at my relationship with Jesus. Aren't you impressed? That's what Jesus is identifying as hypocritical prayers. And the question is, who are you really communicating with? Who are you communicating with? Are you communicating with God, or are you pretending to communicate with God and communicating to people around you? This is really important, and this is one thing we ought to ask ourselves. Are we talking to God, or are we trying to impress other people? Jesus says, if that's the case, you've received your reward in full. What he means is, if you want to impress people, that's what you get. You've impressed people, and that's all you get. That's all that your prayer has accomplished. See, what you're missing out is a living relationship with Jesus, a communication and a communion with the living God Almighty. You're using your words not actually to talk to God, but to talk to others. You know, sometimes when two people have animosity towards each other, they just really are driving each other crazy. They're deeply bitter towards each other. They can exchange words to be civil, but they're doing it to just kind of keep up appearances. They aren't really being thoughtful about the other person when they speak to that person, and they aren't really listening for anything new when the other person speaks to them. It's just kind of going through the motions of communicating, but nothing's really getting communicated. They're just talking, so it looks like everything's fine, and it's clear that it's not. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't let your prayer life ever devolve into something like that, where you're saying words to God for the sake of everyone else to think that you're all right with God. Because Jesus will not be used for your own project. And here I've got personal challenges, because pastors often lead people in prayer, and I need to navigate this reality all the time. There's part of me that really wants my prayers to be elegant and to be, you know, something that, you know, maybe you in the pew will say, oh, you know, how thoughtful or how clever he is, right? And that's a temptation that I say. I want to make sure my words are like your words, and the way I pray would be like you could pray this. I'm not trying to be my prayers to be a level above anybody's. I want my prayers to really represent us before God. So pastors who preach to people through their prayers, this is another problem that pastors get involved in. They can sometimes, you know, have an idea. They want to communicate something to the congregation, so they kind of tuck it in a prayer. That's another way, I think, of violating what Jesus is saying here. When you're talking to God, talk to God. And when you're talking to other people, address other people. And have that clear in your mind. Who are you communicating? See, that's the answer to the question, why private prayers? Why does Jesus encourage people to pray privately? Well, he's not forbidding every time that we pray as a small group, or he's not forbidding it when I or another elder leads in prayer in church. But he's saying that if that's your problem, if you're too often have a focus on how other people are hearing your prayer versus how Jesus is interceding in your prayer, how your prayer is focusing on God the Father, the antidote to that is to spend some more time praying by yourself. Because then that temptation, that blurring of categories won't be there. So he encourages people to pray privately so they can make sure that that's not a dimension, that's not interfering with our prayers. So we can examine our hearts and ask ourselves what our prayers are really all about when we pray one-on-one with God. Again, it's like a husband and wife who only talk to each other when other people are watching. We would all identify that as very, very tragic, dysfunctional relationship. We all kind of get in a sense of what's going on there. Are you and I ever guilty of doing that with our relationship to God? We haven't prayed personally for a long time. And then when we pray publicly, we're just right there and we've got all the right words to say. This is a conviction that I've had this past week, and how many days go by and I have not given prayer the focus it needs to have in my life. So, why private prayers? It's so we can encourage ourselves to focus on our relationship, our communication to God without the interference of how we sound to other people. So let's, to avoid hypocritical prayers, that's one of the antidotes that Jesus gives. And now we want to move from how we could be hypocritical versus authentic to now, what's the content of our prayers? What's the content of our prayers? What do we pray about? And I think, you know, based on what we read in the Bible, and I think the Catechism question answer 16 will help us out a little bit here. Let's actually read this responsively together. Why do Christians need to pray? Let's say this together. Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. The contents of our prayer, I think, boil down to thank you and help. Right? If you look at the things that we have praises and we have petitions. God, this is what you're like, and I thank you for being that way. I praise you for being that way. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for redeeming me and saving me. Gratitude is the portion in our catechism that prayer is put, because the primary focus that we have in prayer is that we ought to be giving thanks to God. If your life is very empty of gratitude, I would say that get in the habit, set aside a time, set your alarm to offer prayers of thanksgiving to God. That is the way we communicate this. And again, communication is not simply expression, it's also formative. It changes us and impacts us. When our children are around the table and we're praying before the meal, that's what we remind ourselves sometimes. Why do we pray right now? We pray to give thanks to God for the food that he provides for us and the other things that he has given us this day. This is a great time to just pause and remember that it's God's hand that has provided what we need for life. And then also, we can remember some people that we know that need prayer, that need help, and we'll add those to our list as well. So, thank you and help. Prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. If someone helps you and you're thankful and you don't say it, you haven't really conveyed that gratitude towards that person. And God, again, gave us the faculty of speech. It's such an important dimension of how we are made in the image of God. We talked about this in the Ninth Commandment about bearing false witness. Our speech, our ability to articulate words and use our language to say thank you is part of who we are. And so putting it into prayer is part of what it means to be grateful to God. It's incomplete without saying it. We can't just think it. We had to say it, even if it's quietly in our minds, saying it to God. We had to pause and say thank you. We also note in this question and answer, and we're reminded this, and this is spoken about throughout the Bible, that if you need something, ask God. Yes, God knows you need it before you ask, but He wants you to express your dependence and need to Him. Like a parent asks his child to make his need known, to put to words what he needs. Even if you as a parent can see that your child needs something and you could kind of figure it out, it's important for your child to learn how to speak for it himself or herself. And so God provides for us when we ask, when we plead, when we have a sense that we depend on God for the good things in life. And so the content of our prayers are largely thank you and help. I think maybe the categories that don't fit into those so nicely are when we're adoration. Sometimes we adore God, and it's not just because He's done something personal for us, but we adore God for His character, for His deeds, for His actions. And we also sometimes confess. And there's some help dimension there, but it's a little bit different than help. We just name our shortcomings and sins and ask for His forgiveness. And that's a dimension of help that we ought to highlight. But the contents of our prayers mainly are thank you and help. And you can find ways to make lists of thank you and lists of how, God, I would like you to help me. And that would be a great way to mentor someone who's learning how to pray. Think of three things you want to say thank you to God for. Think of three things that you need God's help with. And then talk to Him about that. And that's a prayer. That's a great basic prayer if you're teaching your children or grandchildren, if you're teaching someone who's a new Christian how to pray. Thank you and help. Of course, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, and that's what we're going to focus our future meditations on. And the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer for us to use for our own, to make our own. And here we have Christ guiding us. As I said, we express, but we also form. We want God to shape what we focus on in our prayers, and the Lord's Prayer is really meant to do just that. So step one in the Lord's Prayer, first of all, we ought to memorize it. We just ought to commit this prayer to memory. We ought to know what it says so we can pray the Lord's Prayer. And after you've committed it to memory, we ought to then learn and explore what each of these requests mean. What exactly am I saying? Because again, you could memorize the Lord's Prayer and then since it's automated from your mind to your mouth, you could say it without thinking about it. And that's kind of dangerous. And Jesus didn't give us that prayer so we could just do that. So it becomes like these magical words that automatically make God help us without even thinking about it, just as long as we use the right words. But God wants us to kind of meditate on what we're saying and say them from the heart, authentically. So we want to memorize it, but we also want to know what these petitions mean. And when we do those two things, then we can start adding our paraphrases. We can start using the prayer not simply as something we memorize, but as a model or as a guideline for our prayers. So, we can address our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We know that that means that we want your name to be glorified and great. And we could maybe mention a couple sentences about how we could be part of that. Lord, how would I make your name great? Lord, help me guard your name when I speak among my coworkers that use your name in vain a lot. Protect me from being part of that, and help me to be wise and subtly navigating those challenges. We can think about each of these petitions and we can add our own into them because we know what we're praying in the Lord's Prayer. So that's kind of the map that we're going to go in future messages. I want to spend the rest of our time just talking about true and obedient prayer using all that we've talked about so far. How does the Catechism give us really three guidelines for true obedient prayer? Question and answer 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? Let's say this together. First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. And third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. This is what He has promised us in His Word. These three points, how are we to pray? I'm summarizing this in point C in the outline. Authentic communication to God, number one. Honesty about ourselves, number two. And grounding ourselves in the gospel, number three. So first of all, we've talked about this. Authentic communication involves expression and formation. And that's what we have in the way the Catechism has summarized God's Word for us. That we pray from the heart, but we also we pray to the true God. We don't pray to impress other people. We don't pray because other people are listening. We don't pray to false gods. We don't pray to saints that have gone by. We pray to the one true God. We pray from the heart, and we let His Word guide the content of our prayers. We let our imaginations be shaped by the Lord's Prayer, by the Psalms, by what God's Word says about prayer. And so we express and we're formed at the same time. So guided by God's Word, we let the Bible shape our prayers in at least three ways. How do we understand the God we're talking to? We need to have a clear sense of who we're talking to. And so the Bible teaches us about this God, and our prayers ought to have in mind who we are talking to. The Bible shapes what sorts of things we should pray about. And the Bible teaches us who we should pray for. Friends as well as enemies, right? People that we don't like so much. The Bible says you should pray for them. And again, I think that shapes how we view our enemies. It puts everything in a relative state compared to God's sovereignty in this world. So first of all, authentic communication to God involves those dimensions. Second of all, honesty about ourselves. We do not ever want to approach God with this attitude. Lord, I've got it all figured out. I know exactly what you need to do, God. Aren't you lucky to have me on your team? Is that the disposition we should have towards the Lord of the universe? Well, no, we don't pray to God because He needs to hear from us. We pray to God because we need to speak to Him. He's the Creator, we're the creature. He's Almighty God, unlimited in His wisdom and power and knowledge. We are human beings and have a lot of limits in our wisdom and ability and knowledge. And so we have this honesty about ourselves that keeps us humble in God's presence. And we need to acknowledge that as we pray. If we don't, well, we'll kind of sound like someone in Little League trying to advise someone who's a Major League Baseball All-Star, right? Well, we just got the balance completely wrong. Reverence towards God implies humility about ourselves. And so, just like that person that's praying to get a lot of praise for himself in the synagogue or street corner, we want to make sure that our relationship with God is one of dependence and humility, and we acknowledge our own sin in the presence of our Lord and our Savior. So authentic communication, honesty about ourselves, and then also, we need to be grounded in the gospel. We don't pray with the idea that God owes me anything or you anything. We pray in light of the fact that God has given us what we most need, and we didn't deserve it. We pray because Jesus Christ has saved us, because he's our Lord and he's our Savior. He's come down to our level. He's the one that's become our brother, and he's the one that intercedes for our prayers. The Bible says he sanctifies our prayers. We pray through Christ to God the Father. And this is why we have the habit of praying in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. However we're petitioning God, do this not for the sake of my fame or reputation. Do this so Jesus is glorified. Do this not because I've earned my right to gain all kinds of benefits and blessings pouring out on high. Do this because Jesus has gained those benefits and blessings for me. And so prayer is grounded in the gospel. It reminds us all the time who we are and who God is, and that our humility and our sin doesn't have the last word in our lives. Jesus has said, you are a child of God. I have saved you. I've covered you. I've brought you into the family. You're adopted. You can pray to God as your dad, your heavenly father, because I'm your brother. And the Spirit is joining us together as a family. Let's always be reminded of the gospel. And that then will let us be honest about ourselves and have authentic communication to God, our Heavenly Father. These are the basics of prayer that we're going to build on in the weeks ahead. I hope you're encouraged to pray. I hope you're encouraged if you find yourself, perhaps you've getting a little bit of being very articulate in your prayer before other people, that you'll spend some time praying just on your own. I want to challenge you to think about what matters most in life and make sure those are on your prayer list. I also want to encourage you to think about what God would have you pray for that you don't right now. Again, he's saying you don't need a whole lot of words. You don't need to spend long time saying lots and lots of words. You can pray briefly for things that really matter, but do it. And don't worry about exactly saying the right perfect words. Focus on you communicating to your Heavenly Father. That's the kind of prayer that honors God, that is authentic communication, that's honest about you, and that grounds you in the good news of Jesus. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that you hear us, that you want us to speak to you from our hearts as we're guided by your word and spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you don't require magical words or specific exact language. You don't require that we attain some level of spiritual maturity or past some spiritual test before you listen to us. Thank you that we can pray to you whether we are 1 year old or 90 years old, and that you hear us. Shape our prayers to be honoring to you, to honor Jesus. Shape our prayers to be honest about ourselves and open for you to form us and shape us as we communicate with you in our daily walk with Jesus. And we ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.